following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, have you ever been here before? Maybe as a parent or as a grandparent, that first day of school. Have you ever been there? I remember all three of our kids as they were in kindergarten, and we take our little babies, right? Because they're still little babies in kindergarten, and we take them to the classroom door. And you remember there was a bunch of parents waiting outside, and they were just making sure that their kids were going to be okay. And some of them are crying. And it's one of the hardest days as a parent, because you're handing over your little one, the one that you love so much, to this teacher and the big scary world of kindergarten, right? And as a parent, you're like, oh man, this is so hard, because I've only known to be with them. They've only known to be with me. And there's every part of you that wants to go into that classroom and be like, I'm going to watch them all day long, right? I'm going to protect them all day long. I want to make sure they're okay. And I imagine some of you parents actually found your way into the room to watch them. And just, you know, I'm just going to make sure that everything's okay before I get in my car and I leave, right? But the reality is, you can't stay in that classroom. You can't be physically present with them all that first day of kindergarten. There's a moment of separation that takes place. This last week, our middle daughter went to her first freshman day of high school. All right? And every part of me wants to be like, well, I'll just walk around campus with you for a while. Right? I got to protect you from those evil boys. Honestly, that's what I'm thinking, right? I've got to protect my daughter from these evil boys at high school. Or even the friend circle. Lord, I want to make sure that you're in the right friend circle so these friends at high school don't pull you away from all the investment that we put into you. Right? There's a part of me that wants to be physically present, but we can't. I can't be there. She has to kind of venture out on her own. Some of you took that bold and courageous step and sent your children away to college, right? And I guarantee that as they were at college now, there's a part of you that's like, I just want to peek into their dorm room and make sure everything's going okay. I want to see their classroom. I want to make sure they're doing okay with their friend circle and their friend group. By the way, all that was preparation for you sending them off to college at some point or getting out onto their own, that you can't be there all the time, that there is a space that gets put there between you and your child, that they have to grow up and be on their own. But I know this as a parent, all you really want to do is be there with them. I want to be the protector of them. I want to teach and guide and instruct them, even on into their older years. Here's the reality. We all want to protect what we love. We all want to be physically present with those that we love. I remember this. This is one of the hardest times in the COVID era, where people that we loved were sick and in the hospital, and we couldn't go see them. Do you remember this? That we had friends and relatives who were sick, and some of you were sick and in the hospital, and no one could come and visit, right? You couldn't get in to say goodbye sometimes, even to the ones that we loved. But all you wanted to do was be there. I just want to hold their hand. I want to minister to them and be gracious to them. I want to help them. And some of us were locked in homes and you couldn't go in and help out and bring groceries. No, leave them on the doorstep, right? Remember that? But all you really wanted to do was be there, be physically present. Well, I want to tell you this morning. A lot of the letters that we read from Paul just wants to be there. If I could just be there, if I could just walk beside you in this difficult time within the church. He oftentimes would write these letters just saying, I wish with all my heart that I could be present with you, to guide you and to nurture you, to walk your little hand into the kindergarten room and be your protector so no one can harm you or pull you away from Jesus. That's what Paul's writing. He's saying, I want to be there with you. But in particular, in Colossians, the book that we're studying through, you know where Paul is? He's in prison, right? For the gospel. He didn't do anything wrong, right? He was in prison for the gospel, and he's saying, I wish I could be there with you. I wish I could be present. Because remember last week, as Pastor Bill was teaching, all this false theology came into the church. And probably some more than likely were led away by this false theology, false teaching. Sometimes you'll even see it within the church. There's fighting within the church. And Paul's like, come on, I wish I could be there with you as a father in the faith to lead you and guide you. But right now, I've just got to trust that the Lord is going to be with you. And so what he'll often do, and what he's doing tonight, this morning as we study this text, is he'll write a letter. And he'll put some directives in that letter, led by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he'll do something else as well. And I want you to see it in Colossians. If you would, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, as you're turning to Colossians chapter 1, if you feel like, man, I should know where that is, and I keep going past it. I was right there with you last week, as Bill says, turn to Colossians. And I'm turning to Colossians, and I'm like, it's got to be right here somewhere. And I was so embarrassed because, like, I'm a pastor and all. And I'm like, I should know where this thing is. I should know where Colossians is. And I did, but it's such a small book. So if you're having a hard time finding it, it's okay. Take your time. And I will give you this one little tip. And I got it when I was a young boy, and the pastor of the church I was a part of, he said, just remember it this way. Go eat popcorn. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. So if you're struggling, because it's just a small little book, and you're like, it's got to be here somewhere, and people are looking at me, and I should know where Colossians is. Breathe. It's okay. It's okay. Just get to Colossians chapter 1. You'll find it. Just keep looking. Colossians chapter 1. And as Paul is saying, I wish I could be there with you. I want to protect you. I want to be your spiritual father in this time of the church. But I can't be. Here's what he says. Look what he says here in chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. It says this. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to what? Pray for you. He says this, for this reason, for the reason that you, in verse 8, it says, your love in the Spirit, that we are bonded together as one, that you are my children in the faith, that we're together under the gospel, we're like-minded as it pertains to God's grace, that we are one together because of this, for this reason, that I've heard that God did this powerful work in the church of Colossae, for this reason, since the day I heard about it, I have not ceased to pray for you. I've continually thought about you and prayed for you. You know what that tells me? That Paul actually believed that God was listening and that he cared, and that if he prayed, something would happen in the church of Colossae. Notice that he doesn't say, I'm thinking good thoughts towards you. Right? Or I'm hoping on a cloud for you. Right? He didn't say any of those things. Instead, what he says is, listen, since I heard about what God has done with the church in Colossae, and I'm hearing all the stories of false theology, I have not ceased to pray for you. What does that say to us? That say prayer matters. Prayer matters. There's actually something that happens in the spiritual realm that affects the physical realm. That when I can't be there for my daughter as she walks around high school, and she's thankful for that, right? She's so thankful that I cannot walk with her into the campus and walk around with her and protect her. What I can do as a parent is I can pray for her. And I can believe and trust that God hears my prayers, and what I do in the spiritual will manifest itself in the physical. And Paul believes that as he's sitting in prison. He's saying, I'm hearing stories, and so what I do is not think good thoughts. That doesn't land anywhere. Instead, what I do is I pray, and I have faith, and I trust in the one who hears my prayers. And by the way, the one who has all the power and authority on heaven and on earth. So I pray to him. And by the way, you and I can do that same thing. That when we pray, because we can't be physically present, when we pray, God hears those prayers and things happen. Things change. God hears us. So what is he praying for? Look at verse 9 again. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. What's he praying for? He says to that church, here's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of God, that you would know his will. That's the thing. That's what I'm praying for. As there's an attack upon the church, here's what I'm praying for, that you would be able to discern and know the will of God. And not just that you would have a little bit of filling, right? Not that you would just have, that you would just be dabbed a little bit with the move of the Spirit, just a little bit, right? No, he says, listen, I'm praying that you would be completely submerged, filled, that every pore of your being would take in the knowledge of God, that you would walk in the knowledge of God so that you will be in the center of his will. That everything that you are and you do would exude the will and knowledge of God. That you would be completely filled time and time again. So that when there is struggle and there is strife and there is false theology, you would be able to discern it. Because every aspect of your life is filled, completely submerged with knowing the will of God. In fact, there's a text that he talks about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, that he's going to bring up and we'll look at more than likely in next week or the week after. Here's what it says, Colossians 2, 9. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, which is, by the way, a huge statement we'll dive into later about who Jesus truly is. I mean, let's look at that again. If we're in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. If we're not going to argue about who Jesus is this morning, that statement alone is enough. But here's what I want you to see. And in Christ, you have what? Been brought to fullness. The idea of fullness is completion. You have been completed the moment you believed in Christ. Now that completion has to do with a couple things. One is your positioning. Your positioning. Who you are in Christ in light of who Jesus is in righteousness. That his righteousness and his covering over your life has given you a position in relationship to God. That position is already completed. He looks at you as a son and daughter of the King. Now, you may not feel like that at some times. Can I get an amen? Amen? There's times where I'm not completed, Lord. I don't feel like I'm completed. But in the Lord's eyes, because of your fullness and who Christ is, you positionally are completed. That's an amazing thought, that God looks at me as completed in light of who Jesus is. The second thing I would say in this idea of fullness or completion is that you have everything you need to live the life that God has called you to live. You're completed in that sense. Now, again, I get an amen for this. We're not, it doesn't feel like I'm there yet, right? Amen? It doesn't feel like I'm completed yet. But what he's saying is, listen, I have given you all that you need to live a life for me, filled with the knowledge of God, walking in the center of my will. Every pore of you, your being has been covered by me. You are completed. You are full, the fullness. And so then he's saying, listen, that's so important for them to know that as they seek after wisdom and knowledge of God, that they are a completed people, walking in wisdom and spiritual understanding. For what purpose? For what purpose? Because maybe you'll say to me this morning, well, I don't feel completed. And how do I grow in the knowledge of God? What is it that allows me to grow in knowledge and walk in his will? Huh? I want to know God's will. How is it, Jeff, that I could be so completed? How could I be so filled? And I'll just give you three quick things. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, the people of God. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, the people of God. What do you mean by the Spirit of God? How does that fill me with the knowledge of God? Take a look at what the text says, John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will what? Teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Spirit of God who fills us Jesus says, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Talking to his disciples and those that would follow after him. Look what else the Spirit of God. But when he, John 16, 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all what? The truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Do you see that passing on? So, Jeff, you might say, I want to grow in the knowledge and the will of God. I want to understand him more. Well, the Spirit has come to fill you with those things so that you would. Look what it says, that all belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what I will make known to you. One more. Referring to the Holy Spirit's work, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards those who what?
Believe.
That in fact, what God has said is, listen, I want you to know my will. I want you to know me. So I've given you my spirit. But what about the second one? The word of God. Well, how does the word of God help me in knowing God? Right? How does the word of God help me to know and walk in his will? I want you to see 2 Timothy 3:16. Listen to this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay. Well, if I want to know the will of God and I want to know God more, and all scripture is given by his inspiration, I'm thinking maybe I should know this. I should read this. I should spend time with this. And each and every day I kind of pour into this, and I go with two purposes. One, devotion. One, Lord, speak to me by your spirit this morning, guide and lead my day. But also I need to go with understanding. God, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. So I'll go and seek understanding because I'm ultimately trying to understand who this God is that I worship and honor and love. I want to know him more. This is what it says. This is what the word of God is for. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If I'm going to walk according to the things of the Lord, I have to know what his inspired word says. So I need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to fill my life with the word of God. And I would say the third one that I would say, if you're asking me, well, how do I know God's will? And how do I walk in fullness of his knowledge? How do I saturate every part of me with him? I'd say the third thing is that I'm part of the people of God. This thing that you're doing this morning, and hopefully as you think about the people of God, it extends beyond just a Sunday morning service. That actually I surround myself with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And in times, they keep me accountable. At times they encourage me or exhort me. And other times they may even correct me. I need all of that from the family of God, from the church, the body of Christ. That's an important part of who we are. So listen, if you said to me, well, how do I grow in the knowledge of God? How do I find myself in his will? I would say, number one, be filled with the Spirit of God. Read the word of God and be a part of the people of God and see what happens. See what the Lord does. And that's what he's saying in this text. He's saying, I want you to be so filled with knowing the Lord that every part of your life is filled with him. Paul says that to the church of Colossae. He says, what are you filling your life with? Have you allowed false doctrine to come into your home? Have you allowed false doctrine to come into your heart and your mind? And quite frankly, can't you just see it today? That one of the challenges that we have as believers is to navigate through, what do I allow into my body, into my heart, and into my mind? Maybe this is the question. If I'm not filling myself up with the things of the Lord, what am I filling myself up with? And we know this to be true. Whatever we fill our minds with and our hearts with is what comes out of us. Do we know that? Pretty clear. Maybe as a parent one day or as a grandparent, you told your kids, whoever you hang out with, that's who you become. You remember saying that? Have you ever said that to anyone? Right? It's true of us. It's whatever we saturate ourselves with, whatever we fill ourselves with, is what will come dripping out of us. It's part of who we are. And so if you're saying to me this morning, man, I'm not really seeking after the filling of the Spirit, and I'm not really in the Word of God, and I'm not really part of the people of God anywhere, I'm not connected in with the church anywhere, and I don't have very many believers who are friends, then I would say, well, then what's coming out of you? What's dripping out of you? And I would say, hey, listen, maybe come back in a positive way and fill yourselves with those things and see what the Lord does. And look at verse 10. Here's why that matters. He says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you'd be filled with the knowledge of God, that you would know His will, so that, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Here's my objective. Here's why I'm praying with you. I wish I could be there with you, but I can't. But I know that I can pray to the Lord. And here's why I'm praying. That supernaturally, spiritually, He would come and fill you with His knowledge. That you would walk worthy of Him. That you would walk worthy of the living God. That's what I want for you, Church at Colossae. I want you to be able to say, as I look at my life, I'm walking worthy of the living God. Pleasing to Him. Pleasing to Him. Look at this idea of worthy for a second. It's insinuating this idea that God is worthy of me walking a life for Him. That He's done something that made me look at Him and think, oh, you're worthy of my entire life. Has God done something that's worthy of our entire lives being given to Him? Right? That Paul's saying, listen, when I use this word worthy, I mean like your life is worth it. That He's done something of value for you that I could say, walk worthy of the Lord. What did He do that was so worthy of us giving our lives over to Him? What did He do? John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should what? Believe in Him shall not perish, be eternally separated from Him, shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Isn't that worth everything? And Paul's saying, listen, I want you to live lives so filled with the knowledge of God that you walk in His will and that you live a life that is worthy of what He has done for you, worthy of that calling that He's put on your life. Worthy of the eternity that you'll spend with Him. A life that is pleasing to the Lord. One that is worth what He has done for you. Now, you may stand back in your life and think, if I looked at my life right now, I don't know that I am walking worthy. I don't know that I would say, Jeff, that my life is pleasing to the Lord. And if that's you this morning, I will just tell you, you're one decision away from following after Him and saying, Lord, I know that my life right now is being filled with all the wrong stuff. My life is being filled with too many things that are not of Him. And so what's pouring out of me is that which is not worthy, is not pleasing to the Lord. And I would just tell you, He gives you a solution to that. Repentance, to turn from those things and say, I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus, and today marks the day where I want to say, I want to pour out the things of the Lord in my life. I want to walk worthy of what He's done for me. I want to exude who I am in Christ. And maybe you were there at one point. You would say, yeah, in my early years, or when I first heard of Jesus, I gave my life to Him, and my life was completely given to Him. And there were so many things that were going on in my life that were incredible. And slowly I would say this morning, Jeff, that I'm not there anymore. That slowly, over time, I would say, if you ask me if I'm walking worthy or if I'm living a life, please, I'd say no. And you'd maybe say, well, I don't know what happened. And I would say, go back to this analogy. Are you being filled with the things of the Spirit, filling your life with the knowledge and the Word of God? Are you with the people of God, getting accountability and at times correction and encouragement and exhortation? And if you said no to any of that, then I would say there's your solution. Turn your life back to Jesus. Turn from those things and say, I'm going to start filling my life with the things that God has called to fill my life with. Now, here's what I believe will happen. Four things. Four things as we look at the final part of our chapter this morning. Four things I believe are results of Paul's prayer. He says, listen, I'm praying for you that you would be filled with the knowledge of God, that you would walk worthy and pleasing to the Lord. And here's what that's going to look like. And by the way, all four of these things are things that you want to see in every church. That every church should have these four things. Because every church is made up of believers who are walking with Jesus, right? That's the idea. That you'd have people who are living out these things in their life, the results of walking with Jesus, a worthy life. Then what we'll see are these four things. I want you to take a look at these. As you're like, what are those? What are those? Come back. Right here. First one. Fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. Let's just read the text real quick and you'll see these. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Says this, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his gracious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I want to just pull out of those. By the way, that's incredible text, right? The inspiration of God writing that down so we have it. But look, I want you to see four things that will be a result of what the Lord is going to do inside of the believer's heart. And again, what we should see magnified in the church. This should be something as you walk into a church, you see these four things. Number one, right? Fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. Now, the phrase good work oftentimes takes a negative stereotype within the church because we all know this. We're not saved by works, right? Not saved by works. But as a result of walking worthy of the call, living a life that is pleasing to God, there will be good works that come out of us. Can I get an amen? Amen. That actually there should be fruit happening that's coming out of my life if I'm walking in the center of the will of God, that he's going to direct my paths, that he's going to lead me by his Spirit through his Word into circumstances where I will bear fruit. So then the question becomes, am I bearing fruit? Is there something in my life that is bearing fruit? Where can I see it? Where tangibly do I see the fruit in my life? And if I can't put my finger on, I don't know where it is, then maybe I take you back again to being dunked in that water, being surrounded by the things of the Lord and saying, Lord, direct me to the path of your will where I will bear much fruit. Allow me to do this for a second. I want to take you to 2 Peter, where the line, I believe, is connected between knowledge of God, knowing God, and bearing fruit. Take a look at this. 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. In other words, there's an understanding here, a deeper knowledge going on that you were called by in knowing who Jesus is and walking with him, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature,
having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You escaped out of the darkness and into the light. You got to experience the living God. That's what he's saying. And then he says, listen, but check this out. There's more. There's more. Take a look what he says. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. With what purpose? What's the purpose? Look what he says. For if these things, what are these things? Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're growing in these things, which things? These things, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If you're abounding in these things, then you're not going to be living an unfruitful life. It's not going to be a barren life. For he who lacks these things, in other words, you're saying, oh my gosh, a barren life. I don't have these things as a part of my life. He says, if you lack these things, you're short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. In other words, you've forgotten what the Lord has done for us. If you're living an unfruitful life and devoid of these things, then you're living a life blind to the things of the Lord. And he's saying you've forgotten what Jesus did for us. Something that was worthy of us living a life for him. And I would say this morning he would invite you back and say, listen, I want you to live a fruitful life. Now, it just makes logical sense to me. If I'm walking in the center of the will of God, seeking after the Spirit of God by the Word of God with the people of God, and I'm walking in His will, then there's going to be fruit that's coming off of me, and I can't even help it. I'm being so filled by Him on a regular basis that I can't stop the drip that's coming out of me. I just can't stop it, right? It's just part of who I am on a continual basis. And so he's saying, listen, are you dripping with fruit? Are you filled, so filled that fruit is coming off of you? The second thing he says, the first is, if you are walking that worthy life, you will see fruit. The second thing he says is you're growing in the knowledge of God. Look at the second part of verse 10. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Are you growing? I know maybe you gave your life to the Lord and now you've followed after him. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? And I believe in this moment, we could talk about Bible study and understanding the Word of God. I think that's super important. And part of who we are as believers is looking at the inspired Word of God and growing in the head knowledge of him. But also experiential knowledge, relational knowledge. Are you growing in relationship to him? Here's the thing. If you found somebody one day on the street and you kind of liked them, you're like, hey, let's go get coffee together, right? Let's grab coffee together sometime. Let's meet up, right? And you sat down at that coffee, you would begin to get to know them a little bit, right? Maybe you'd ask those perpetual questions, favorite color, where would you go to vacation, all these things. You'd get some knowledge about who they were. But you'd never, in just that short coffee, understand all there was to know about them. You wouldn't know them exceedingly well. But if you wanted to get to know them a little bit more, you might invite them to lunch. And now you're sitting around lunch together, and you're diving a little deeper on this one. You're growing a little bit with them relationally. You're understanding a little bit more of the nuances of that relationship and what it's going to be. And if it got past that lunch time together, the lunch hangout, you may start doing something together, like go to an amusement park together, or you may go down to the beach and hang out, or maybe you do a family event together. And now all of a sudden, you're building up and increasing in understanding what it is to have a relationship with them. You're increasing in the knowledge of who they are. And now you're beginning to develop a deeper relationship. And I ask that question, What kind of relationship do you have with the Lord? Is it increasing in the knowledge of God? Are you having those coffee times with him and the lunch times with him? Are you inviting him into your life on a regular basis? I think that's a question we should ask each other and exhort each other with and encourage each other. How's your time with the Lord? Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Well, I've been a believer for like 40 years, so I'm pretty, you know, I know the Lord pretty well. And that's great, but are you increasing in your knowledge of God? Are you growing in your understanding of who he is and circumstances in your life? That's what Paul's praying for. I want you to be filled, completely filled with the knowledge of God, that you would walk in his will and live a life worthy and pleasing to him. And one of the fruits will be that you will increase in your knowledge of him. Here's the third one. Being strengthened by his power. Being strengthened by his power. Listen to what it says here in verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Here's what he's saying. I'm praying for you, church at Colossae, that you would be strengthened with his power, not your own power. Not that you just pull your bootstraps up and you fight on, right? No, no, I'm actually praying that God's power would be felt by you and that you would hold up underneath his power. As the church is being attacked from all different sides, that you would experience the supernatural power of the living God. That's what I'm praying for you. That when you say, I can't do it anymore, it's just too much, that you would get a little taste and a little experience of what it is to sit underneath his power. Look what it says here very clearly. It says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Not your own power, not your own strength, but his glorious power. That as you walk, that you'd be able to do it, look at that, with all patience and long suffering with what? With joy. That you would experience the living God's power so much in your life that even if you're having to be patient and walking through this season with long suffering, you would be able to experience his joy. And that won't come from within. If I just fight it, if I just keep going, right? No, no, no. Here's what I want, he's saying. I want you to experience what it is to be filled with the Lord. I'm praying that you'd be filled with the Lord, that you would walk in his will, his knowledge, his will, that even in the tough times of life, you were so filled with the things of the Lord that you'd even experience his joy, the joy of walking with him and experiencing his power. Now, I want to point this to you. Every church should be filled with these people. Right? That when you walk into this place and the living God is present by his Spirit and the teaching of his word, and as people are walking out this, then you will see good works and you will see people growing in the knowledge and the relationship with God. And you will see people who are saying, let me just pray for you. And it's not just, I'm going to think some good thoughts towards you right now, right? It's like, I'm going to pray for you that the power of God would be present upon you. In fact, last night, as I got done teaching, there was like a bunch of, I think our prayer team had a vacation, so it was just me. And so there was a bunch of people and they were wanting prayer. And when I always pray for people or when people call on the phone in the office, I always just make it very clear, hey, I know why you're calling. You're not calling to talk to Pastor Jeff. You're calling because you're seeking after the living God. And so let's do that together. Because at the end, I don't want you to walk away from a prayer time thinking, oh, those are really great words. Or at least Jeff is thinking about me, right? I don't want that. I want you to genuinely experience the power of God in your life. And so the church that's healthy is praying for that. Lord, would you just in a miraculous way break through in these people's life that are coming for prayer? And I don't want any glory. I don't want any of that. I don't care if you remember me at all or if I prayed for you or not. What I want for you is to experience and taste that the Lord is good and that's what Paul is saying, that you would be strengthened by his power. And if you forget about me, I'm totally okay with that, Paul would say. If I just blip out of your range, that's totally cool. What I want is you to have sustaining power and a memory that said, I remember when it was hard, but the Lord strengthened me with his power. Final one. Growing in thankfulness. Growing in thankfulness. That if you're filled with the knowledge of God and you're walking in his will, and you're living a life worthy of him, pleasing to him, then you're gonna grow in thankfulness. Well, what do you mean by that, Jeff? Look at the last verses here. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I mean, I can be thankful because I was not qualified and now I'm qualified. For what? For eternity, for forever, spending time with the living God. That at one point, I was not qualified, but God, through his grace and his mercy and through his Son, qualified me for something I was not qualified for. I was walking in darkness. And yet, he says, listen, I'm qualifying you, Jeff, not because you're a good person, not because you earned it or deserve it, but I am qualifying you in the name of my Son, Jesus Christ. And now you have eternity with me. So Paul says, listen, you can be thankful as you understand growing in thankfulness what God has done for you. He's qualified us. Look at verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Did you know at one point in your life and in my life, I was walking in darkness? Stumbling into things everywhere I went, could not understand why my life was falling apart, right? And then one day God shines this light on my life and it's like, oh, I didn't understand that before. And I was walking in sin on a continual basis. And God shines that light in as I was walking in darkness. And he says, listen, I want you to walk in the light. I've qualified you, and now I've delivered you out of that kingdom of darkness. And look what it says next. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In other words, back in the day when a king would take over a land, he would take all the people and he would convey them over to his land and his ways. They would talk like him and walk like him. They would be conveyed over to his kingdom. Can you see the analogy in the picture? That God says, listen, I've qualified you, I've delivered you out of the kingdom of darkness, and now I'm conveying you over to be my people, that you are that valuable to me. I want you to walk in my ways, Jeff. Stop bumping into things in darkness. Believe on my Son, and I will bring my Spirit and my Word into you, and you will now walk conveyed over to my kingdom. Is that good news? Incredible news. Now, let me get this, and then we'll close right here. I think that maybe some of you would take on Paul's stance here. And maybe as you're thinking of this, you're like, oh man, yeah, maybe it's definitely applying to my heart and my mind. I want to fill myself up more with the things of him so that these four things that I see up there would just come out naturally from my life. I want to be fruit-bearing. I want to grow in my relational knowledge of God. I want to know more of walking with him. I want to be strengthened in my weakness, in his power, not my own. And quite frankly, I could grow in some thankfulness, right? That I need to remember this text and know that I have a lot to be thankful for. But maybe some of you are thinking, man, I want this for my son or my daughter. Maybe who stepped away from walking with him, saturating themselves with the living God. And I would just encourage you with this. Pray, right? Paul believed it. Paul said, I'm praying for the church of Colossae. I'm not thinking good thoughts towards. I'm praying for. I'm coming on behalf of the church of Colossae. You're coming on behalf of your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren. And you're saying, I'm going to pray to the God that I know has the power. And Lord, would you land some of this text on them? Would they taste and see that you are good? Would they get back into the center of your will again and walk a life worthy and pleasing to you? I'm going to pray that for my kids. I'm going to pray that for my grandkids. I'm going to pray that for that coworker I knew, used to know the Lord, used to walk with him. And now what happened? He's outside there, or she's outside the center of his will, and I see it on a regular basis. But I know that if I pray, the Lord will hear that. Be those people who go on behalf, like Paul is for the church, for those people in your circle of influence that God has put there. And this all matters because of this last verse, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This only matters. Listen, the power is in the blood, in the covering over of our sins. That we can say, listen, I can even approach you. I can even believe this and walk in understanding because of what you have done for us in your Son. I'm going to have the worship team come back up. And I want to close off this time with this song. We already sang it, but it's such a great reminder of the thankfulness that we should have for the Lord. That I would say, Lord, I want to be filled again. Fill me like that sponge is filled. And I want to be filled so that I can be poured out. And so let's pray for that this morning. Let's pray for that over refuge all this weekend. Lord, we just come before you right now. And Lord, what I am not able to do, Lord, is convince or sway. Lord, what you can do so well by the working of your Spirit is change a life, change a soul, change an eternal destination. Lord, you can remind us of who we are in you so much better than I can. And so this morning, pour your Spirit out upon us. And Lord, I pray for our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would pour your Spirit out in them. Remind them who they are. Remind them, Lord, this morning, even this morning as we're gathered here, remind them who they are in you. And bring them back, saturate them again with the knowledge of your will. Saturate them again with the moving of your Spirit. Lord, would you do that work? Lord, sometimes as parents, as grandparents, again, like me, we're short and able to be able to do that. We can't force them. But Lord, we ultimately pray that you would just do that work upon them. And Lord, draw them back to you again so that they would bear much fruit, that they would increase in the knowledge of you. Lord, as they look at their lives, they'd say, I can walk in pleasing ways to the Lord. Do that in their lives again, Lord. And maybe some of them are here today, Lord. Draw them back to you again in a mighty way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.